Now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come, and Lord, thank you. There's just all this peace and joy and rest. And Lord, I'm happy. I'm happy. And it's because you live. And Lord, thank you. Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Christ lives in the sons of God. Hallelujah. And Lord, thank you. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Lord, thank you for that life. Lord, thank you for the abundant life. Lord, thank you for not just hope, but abounding hope. Thank you for a lively hope. Lord, thank you, God, we come in here expecting. God, thank you, Lord, that we know that we're in no wise cast out. God, that you are there always with open arms, Lord Jesus. And not just that, but there's always the robe and the ring, the embrace and the kiss. Lord, always expecting your sons to come home. Lord, thank you for this. Lord, thank you for this time. God, thank you for all of the beauty that you give us. And I'm talking about the beauty of the Lord in your vessels. Lord, these parents, God, this congregation, Lord, the precious Bob and these sisters to sing to you, Lord, the glory that comes from you back up to you. Lord, it's sacrifice and thanksgiving. It's this sweet smelling incense, Lord, that just flows and flows and flows to you. And it's all because of your work and your grace and your mercy. And God, you've given it all to us. You said we have all grace, all grace, all grace, all grace. Lord, let us not make even one bit of it vain. Let us take it all. Let it all work effectually. Because you've given the faith, Lord, to believe. And let us be quick to believe, Lord God, and stand on all of the promises that are yea and amen in your name. And we do give you the praise today. And Lord, may it be face to face today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now I think about what a blessing it is to see these parents and bringing these children up. This joy we just experienced. These parents beaming with the glory of God, truly. They know they have been given the greatest of gifts. You know this, a child. That little teeny girl. Oh my goodness. So perfect. Just perfect. These little men. Little round men. I love them so much. But they love these children and they want to commit these children to the Lord and raise these children under the mighty hand of God. But you know, there's some that would almost think it as foolish to say, well, that the reason that they had these children is they wanted to raise up these kids to serve them. You know that. We all have children to wait on us hand and foot. You know, that's why you had a kid, right? There is he. You know, man, I've been humping it too long. I need to have me a child to come and serve me. I know my pastor's crazy. And that would be ridiculous. Ridiculous. We chuckle at it, but that's ridiculous. These parents, all by the grace of God, the parents in this place, the parents that are listening today, I know that you all feel the same. You would do anything and give anything for your child to help them be independent, to grow up, to thrive, and to reign over their own household someday. Amen. Amen. And yet, most of Christianity is just as messed up as what I was just saying, to think that a parent, a natural parent, would have a child born for the purpose of serving them. That messed up. That confused. They may say, oh, we're children of God. We're born of God. He is our Father. But he just wants us to grow up to serve him. I know we've heard this many times in this place, but I'm praying by the grace of God. Somehow, some way, this penetrates each and every one of us in a new way. And those that still might be kind of sitting on a fence, that by the grace of God, you really, really get it today. Because you'll truly never go on unless you embrace what the Lord truly has for you in the heights of why he came to give his life for you, why he died for you. The power that's in that blood was not just to raise you together with him, but to seat you together with him and to someday rule and reign together with him. Now, brothers and sisters, God the Father has one thing in mind for all of his sons. And that's to grow up, to what you were born to be. Now, here we have little Israel. Praise God. I mean, what a gift. I am biased because I love you so much, but what a precious daddy, precious mommy. But you don't know necessarily what he was born for naturally. But the thing with God, he tells us divinely what you were born of God for. Amen. And we go right back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. And again, Brother Paul encouraged of the Lord to tell us, yea, the mystery, the deep things of Christ by the Spirit. He says, now I say that the heir, H-E-I-R, the inheritor, the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Really let that saturate in and sink in that this is our precious Lord speaking of us, born again, born of God, children of God, heirs of God, but being born Lord of all. Go on over to verse 7. It says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Throughout the Word of God, and especially Paul ministering, this kind of comes up a lot because it's our natural tendency to go back into what our flesh feels comfortable with. Oh, he's God, and I need to serve him. Now, it's impossible to please God without faith. All right? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And yes, there will come serving in our life, but it always comes out of love and growth and the purpose of God, as opposed to approaching it, somehow I'm finding favor or my comfort level with God is to serve him. All right? Now, not only does he desire us to understand this, that we are born Lord of all, not only does he tell us that we are heirs of God, go on over to Romans 8:17. Because, you know, this is beautiful about the Word of God, and especially the book of Romans, and how quickly the Lord takes you along, because, you know what, we don't have a lot of time. And by the 8th chapter, the Word of God is hitting on all cylinders about the very pinnacle of what the Lord has for you. For you. Put yourself individually right there. And it says there in Romans 8:17, and if children, and that word children means an infant, just like these little babies that came up today. There they are, the babies. They came up today, infant. That word in the Greek is technon. It means infant. So if infants were heirs and heirs of God the Father, those little children, praise God, are heirs of their parents. All right? We get that. Praise God. And their babies. Hallelujah. And that's a wonderful thing to think about us in Christ, born of God, that we are no longer servants. Don't forget what we read earlier on. We're no longer servants. We're sons. And we're heirs. Inheritors. Praise God. All right? I don't know how much more direct God can be, but he seems to do it. But then it says, not only are we heirs and heirs of God, it says, and joint heirs. Joint heirs. And that means co-jointly. That means as a husband and wife jointly. Praise God. With who? No more God, meaning the Father, but with Christ. All right. So we move from a baby to an heir of a father, right? To now immediately speaking about marriage, joint heirship, not with Father anymore, but with Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Word of God goes on to speak of the Lamb's wife. Amen? So quickly, so speedily, the Lord gives us these things. But it's what will we do with them? All right? This is what this says. By the grace of God, it doesn't just say it here. It says it many places in the Word of God. They try to limit me to 30 minutes or I start getting a red flag back there. We only got so much time. But this is what God wants for you. He wants his best. And then he not only says, and joint heirs as a husband and wife with Jesus Christ. It says, if so be. See, there's a difference there. These children are born. There's nothing else that they'll ever be but the child of those parents. That DNA's in them. It's over. Never change that. Never, ever. Can't get the DNA out. That's why people that believe that you can lose your salvation, why does the Word of God say it's the seed that remains? It's speaking of the DNA of God that remains. He can't deny himself. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're right there studying about the tabernacle. My goodness, you got to the brazen altar. Hallelujah. We all come in that way. But you'll never go past the brazen altar without settling it with God. Hallelujah. It's finished. My sin became ashes right there. Whoop. Gone. Thank you, Jesus. But it says there's an if on the joint heir, so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. See, I look at that suffering together. We know that that's speaking of that marriage. We don't get married, then live apart. We get married and we live together. Amen? The reason we live together is we love one another. But part of that loving one another, we go through everything together. What don't we go through together as a husband and wife? I mean that. Your pain's her pain. Her pain's your pain. Everybody quiet. Your joy's her joy. Her joy's your joy. But you go through it together. You don't just give it to one. And it's amazing how God shows you. Now, he's always the strong one. You know that. But isn't it wonderful that the heart of the husband of that virtuous woman, it trusts in her. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He wanted a heart that he could trust in. You're vitally important to him. All comes from believing his word, you see. Now, let's go on with this. It says, and glorified together with him. Exalted to the same glory. Praise God. Exalted to the same glory. So this is a husband that doesn't want his wife to serve him, This is a husband that wants his wife to rule and reign with him, to be glorified together with him. That will be to a place where, as the word of God says about her, the church of Philadelphia, in Revelation chapter 3, I will make known to all that I have loved thee. Let me present my glory to you. The Mrs. Lamb of God. Come on. Can you get there? The Lamb's wife. And she's made herself ready. That's why his heart trusts in her. Because she's confident in his love. Not in her love. His love. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I'm confident in my faithfulness and love. There ain't no confidence in that. I'm just as unstable as you. Just as doubtful at times, all of those things. But there's something by the grace of God I don't doubt because of the word of God. Him. His desire, his love. He's a God that can't lie. I know that. He's a God that loves and loves so intensely and immensely. Oh my goodness. I believe him, sister. I do. I believe him, brother. Unequivocally believe him. There's no doubt. This is God. He said it. And it's settled. It's settled. God's word settled. We go on. All right. Exalted to the same glory. Don't get over it. Get into it. Praise God. That's the whole thing. You're wasting your time trying to get over it. You just need to get into it and then you'll understand it. Hallelujah. Just believe God. You take the place by faith. Right, James? Amen. Amen, you do. No other way. You just believe. You don't work your way into that. There's no way you could. It's all by faith. I couldn't work my way into salvation. Same way all the way through. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. Amen. We believe God. Now, 2 Chronicles. Let's go on over there. The Lord gives us an example of a king who God used to show us what was in his heart for us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 8, King Solomon here. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, wherein Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, and the cities which Hiram had restored to Solomon. Solomon built them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. Solomon went to Hamath Zobah and prevailed against it. And he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities which he built in Hamath. Also he built Bethhoron, the upper, and Bethhoron the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars, and Baalath and all the store cities that Solomon had. And all the chariot sites and the cities of the horsemen and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and throughout all the land of his dominion. As for all the people that were left, of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which were not of Israel, but of their children who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel consume not, them did Solomon make to pay tribute until this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work. So the king made no servants for his work. But what were they? They were men of war and chief of the captains and captains of the chariots and the horsemen, and these were the chief of King Solomon's officers, even 250 that bear rule over the people. Now, Solomon the king, he didn't make his people servants, but what he made them, what he promoted them to, were to be rulers and leaders.
Now, how could it be any more clear in the Word of God, and especially here, that the king doesn't want his people to serve him? He wants them to reign. He wants them to take places of reigning. Amen? Praise God. We see that pattern through Israel, through the kings. And I'll tell you what, Solomon at this time of his life was right in stride with the will of God. Oh, yes. Lord had so encouraged his heart and given him such instruction. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand this. We need to be a family of God that understands to be men of war and women of war, chief of the captains, captains of his chariots and horsemen, even the chief of the officers. Isn't that interesting? He talks about this ruling and reigning, but it's all in a warfare. Yes, it is. We're in a battle. And we need to be fighting a good fight of faith. And we need to be fighting a good warfare. And the way that you do that is by being a captain. You need to be a ruler. And by the grace of God, a chief. If you weren't participating in what Solomon had for you in that place, you didn't participate in what the desire of the king's heart was for the kingdom. Amen? Because he wasn't going to put you out there to be with the ungodly that were going to serve him. Do you understand that? All you're doing is taking your place that he's given. And I take it that way. He didn't make them servants. He made them rulers. He made them to reign. Hallelujah. And that's why this is so beautiful here. But yet I get so frustrated hearing over and over and over the majority of God's precious people. Oh, I'm serving for the kingdom. I'm working for the kingdom. I hear that all the time. And I'm telling you, that's just a big statement of unbelief. It's a huge statement of unbelief. And it's a huge statement of ignorant self-righteousness. The Lord would never have me saying that. First of all, we're in the church age. Do you understand that? We're not in the kingdom age. We're not in that time right now. We're in a church age. And what's coming out of here and what the Lord desires for each and every one of his sons is that you rule and reign with him. That you have the vision. Honeys, I want you in the midst of that throne of glory. I don't want you standing before the throne with palms in your hand. But yet we know, as Revelation tells us, the majority of God's precious people are going to be right there. Because they lack the faith. They lack the faith. Could you imagine telling King Solomon, put yourself there. You just saw God do all of these mighty things. Solomon, I'll tell you, how God graced him. You're not going to have war. They're going to submit to you, son. Your kingdom's going to reign over it all. What a type. What a shadow for us. And yet you think you're coming to him as a person in Israel, coming to him and say, oh, well, you know what? I just want to take this. I'll tell you what, it'd probably take you out there and you might not come back. And you wouldn't say that. You'd be thankful for what God had given. You'd see that king in the place that he's taken. Hallelujah. You see the king in the place that he's taken. Praise be to God. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. How he ascended and he went on high and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he sent us the Holy Ghost to know this. That he's got all the things of Christ and he's making them yours. Hallelujah, they're already yours. He's just showing them unto you. You are that little Lord of all. You are that Lord of all. Born that way, exactly. That's your son, is he? That's your son. Praise God, it's your son. And all you want him to do is grow up, so you give him everything. I know it's in the heart of me with my sons. I want to give them everything. It's all theirs. Now, I'm working for the kingdom. That's called impaired servant mentality. I've said this a couple times. I challenge anyone. You want to read about overcomers in the Word of God? You go right to Hebrews chapter 11. Right there. Those are the full overcomers of the Old Testament. I challenge anybody to show me one in there that God called out, that God divinely called to him to come on out and be a servant. Nope, God just said, come on and I'm going to make you a servant. You won't find a one. You won't. Every one of them, you'll find them heirs of God. Heirs of God. Even Abraham, I thank God. God gave to Abraham. He said, look up, it's yours, son. From the Nile to the Euphrates. Israel today is just battling over a little bitty bit of what God gave to them. And God's going to restore it. Just hold on. It's coming, praise God. A lot of wonderful things coming. Then you think about Isaac and Jacob. They went on his lineage to inherit all of that. And then their wives, Rebekah and Rachel, they weren't called out to be servants. They were the aristocracy of the Old Testament. David was called to be a king, right? Gideon, Solomon, they were the rulers. Hallelujah. You think about Ruth. She was the Redeemer's wife. Boaz. Huh? Esther. That orphan, my goodness. She's the king's wife. And he let it be known what he gave to her. Honey, what's mine is yours. Come on. This theme plays over and over and over and over. I thank the Lord. You know, Lord, Jesus said to him, I call you friends, not servants. See, it was just their natural reaction because he's so incredible. But he's so incredible, that's not what he saved you for. Nope. I want a wife, not a bondmaid. I want a wife. I don't want a bondmaid. Think about Martha. As Jesus said so profoundly to her, Martha, you are cumbered or encumbered with doing. With doing. With work. And he says you're troubled. See, if this is your mindset with Christ, you're a troubled Christian. You're troubled. And you're so troubled, what happens eventually too, you start pointing at others that aren't like you. Because you're that insecure in your faith. Because that's not faith. Because that's not the Word of God. It's a believing, but it ain't faith. There's one faith. And I'm emphatic about that. Oh, there are a lot of beliefs out there, but there's one faith. Mary has chosen the better part. The more profitable, the more beneficial, the excellent. Now, you really have to deny the obvious to not believe it. You can go back and say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I think. I don't care what the Bible said. This is what I've been taught. I think you should care what the Bible says. If you call yourself a Christian, I would be of Christ. Well, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be... Let me tell you... Well, we'll get to that in a minute. We are born heirs. We're born sons. We're not born servants. I didn't raise my two sons to serve me. I raised them to have their own. They know that. I raised them to reign over their own households. I raised them to truly inherit everything from me. Everything. It's the truth. Say, Dad, you should have a nicer car. I say, well, Why do you want me spending your money? I know people look at me funny that way, but I guess I got that, Johnny, from a daddy who loved us, didn't he? I can hear him come, I'll just get you from point A to point B, son. What's it matter what it looks like? Yeah, that was Pop. That was Papa. Now, you think about this. Where did we get this thinking? Where did Christians get this thinking about, well, I got to be a servant? You know where they get that? The enemy. That's Satan himself. That's the truth. That's taking the word of God and distorting it. Because, see, there's nothing more that the enemy wants to do than to have you forfeit and never come into faith of believing what God says in his word. You are vessels prepared afore unto glory. That wife hath made herself ready. See, they brought, you know, Stephen, they brought Esther into that kingdom. You know that? There she was, that orphan. And I'm sure she was basically a servant out there, serving Mordecai, and you know, all the different ones, helping out at the house and everything. But they brought her in. And they brought her in to please the king. And they brought her in, and you know one thing they did? They pampered her. They just wanted to give her the things that were more. I don't read anything about Esther. Well, they brought her in there. You know what? You're going to start in the mail room. And then you get to work up to plumbing. And, you know, I don't know. It didn't work that way. They brought her in there. And you know what, sister? That's the beautiful thing. The Lord just does this stuff on the... He's got it way back then, but he just gives it to me now. Isn't that awesome? But see, he brings you in there just like he brought her in there. And he gives you everything right in the palace. Amen, Rick. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? It wasn't time. It was time to raise you right up there. Get you ready. And there wasn't a lot of time. And it says everything was given speedily. Speedily to her. To let there be no doubt. Right out the gate. Honey, you've got the full opportunity to be presented to marry the king. Amen? And right off the bat, the king found her. There was a love that he had for her that exceeded all the others. And it didn't come from her working. It was because that 6 months of frankincense and 6 months of myrrh, all of the beauty that they put on to her to make her pleasing to the king, to what? To reign with him. Why was Vashti, why was the crown taken? She didn't want to reign. She didn't want to go out there and let herself be enjoyed by the people. That was the glory of the king. Even take that coming to church. Let me tell you something. You're hearing the message to be the glory of the king. And yet you just house yourself up and not come out before his people. That they enjoy you. The world don't know who you are. I'll tell you what. The people in here know who you are. You're the aristocracy of it all. Hallelujah. Do you realize that? This is a group by the grace of God. And I pray it would be everyone in here. God forbid it wouldn't. Part of that company that'll be taking that throne with him. The glorified together company, praise be to God. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to step out. Thank you, Lord. You just said, come out. Praise God. I'm out. I got my crown. That's my husband. He's the king. He's the Lord. He's my God. And I'm his desire. Ain't that grand? Oh, my. Now, here it is. We're vessels prepared afore unto that glory. Before the foundation of the world, he saw us in Christ in love. The preparing, the detail, that all things are yours, all things are for your sake. We're rejoicing that on Friday. Every star set, all the oxygen on this planet, all the water on it, all the animals in it. It's for my sake. There's no coincidence. I ain't that foolish. I ain't that foolish. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ if we'll suffer together with him. Brothers and sisters, the serving is just an after effect of the love and the reigning. I'm the head of my home. I'm the head of my home, and I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord he gave me instruction and a heart to be the head of my home. I thank God I have a wife that encourages me to be the head of the home. Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what. I vacuum. I do dishes. Not because I'm serving, but because I'm loving. And I thank the Lord, at least for this fella. I didn't start doing that till I fell in love. All right, let's close it up. God help us to put away our unbelief. God help us to put away our false humility and our false lowliness. And I think this is such a... Let it strike deep. He's the one who possessed all the lowliness. He's the one that took all the guilt and the shame. He is the servant who made the way for us to reign with him. You think way too much of you. He's the one who did it all. He's the one who did it all. He's the one who came down those seven steps for one reason: to exalt you together with him. So I pray that we just really turn into vessels of praise and ask him, Lord, give me the fullness of faith to believe that you want me to take that place to rule and to reign with you. That he wants us to enjoy everything that he has fully together with him. He doesn't want us to see it from afar off. He wants us to be right in the midst of the throne of glory with him, looking out with him over it all. That's the vantage point he wants you to have. Where do you see yourself? Standing before the throne of God, waving a palm, saying salvation to my God? Or right in the midst of that throne, I'm giving you glory. It's me. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? He wants us to be part of everything. Everything. That he will rule and reign over and have authority over forever with him. And the heavens opened, Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of lords. Are you ready to ride? Are you ready to ride? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. I take company with the captains and the chief of the captains. The chiefs and the captains of the horsemen and the chariots. We're ready. We're ready. Ready to ride. Hallelujah. Let's stand, and we need to stand. Let's praise the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus.